Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk healthy hair, healthy new year, and more with Emmy Award-winning stylist Angela T. Styles. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Welcome back, Fit Clubbers. Happy New Year. Wow, 2020, here we are. I can't believe it.
We're here.
We are back again. My name is Shaka Smith, your host, joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Candy Marie.
Hey, guys. It's so good to be back.
Yeah, you've seen Miss Candy Marie on every show
and
After
Buzz. You might as well ask me to be your co-host, Shaka.
Yeah, just come on. Can you do it? Can you do it?
I mean, I might be able to work some things out.
We better work it out. Well, we got to work it out with Miss Angela C. Styles, Emmy Award-winning stylist. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. I love being here. You guys are always so sweet and so bomb.
Oh,
and I always learn something new, so it's like, yes, I need to come.
Well, I mean, now you're a mouthful, because now you're Emmy Award-winning stylist. Before you were here, you
haven't
won the
Emmy
yet.
You have to say the whole thing.
Give her credit.
Not, not Emmy nominated, Emmy
Award-winning. That's a lot of syllables. I want them all.
And that just happened this year, right?
It did. It was such it's such an amazing honor. Every time I hear someone say it, and like, they're talking about me. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Congratulations. I know you almost thought it kind of happened quickly because you got into the union, but you've been working at this for a while, though, right?
I have. I think that was the universe's way of saying, like, 10 years, boom, there you go. There's your stripes. Because it really, this year will be my 10-year anniversary of living in L.A.
Yeah.
I've been a hairstylist for 14 years, licensed. So to get it last year, it was kind of like, okay, like, this is for all the work that you've been putting in, you know, even though, yes, like you said, I just got in the union. But I'm, it's just so amazing.
Yeah, because some people get in the union quick. Some people take a while. But the Emmy doesn't always come. But you got the Emmy.
Right.
They say God, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Amen. Well, we got a lot to talk about and a lot to illuminate the viewers about. So
let's get it in.
Yeah. So the first story is about marathon running could help you live longer. It sort of seems counterintuitive in terms of why would I marathon run? But they actually looked into, these were first-time marathoners, 138 people, and they found that there was a 4-year reduction in vascular age. Lower arterial stiffening of the aorta was lower, lower blood pressure. So they had all these great symptoms of younger cardiovascular health, and these were first-time marathoners. It had nothing to do with speed. The average speed was 5.5 hours for women and about 4.5 hours for men. And this was in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. So I know, though, there's a lot of challenges to sometimes starting to work out. I know a lot of females will tell me their hair is a challenge as well. What do you do for cardio? And then what do you do with your hair for cardio? Is that a challenge for you?
That's good to know about the marathon running. I'm not a runner, but I might do it to add like a couple more years to my life.
Right,
I might try
it
once. Because my question was going to be like, do they have to continue to run marathons or can they just run one?
Oh, and this was ages 21 to 69 too. So and the people that were older had the biggest benefit. So any age.
Okay, well, I'm going to put that in my back pocket. But typically, I don't run marathons or anything. I don't really like to run.
I'm not a cardio person either, sis.
Yeah, I will do. Okay, so I do love to do jumping jacks. Yeah. And I like to either do jumping jacks with weights or I'll do jumping jacks and I'll do high kicks. It's like a cheerleader workout, basically.
Yeah.
And then I also like the rope. I like to do a jump rope. Yeah. That one, they say you get a full body workout by doing it. So I prefer to do things that have more of a blend of working out, or I'll do the stairs, like Stairmasters.
Yeah.
And that's fun because, like, I'll listen to like some ratchet music and I'll be on the Stairmaster and I'll be like dancing on the Stairmaster and getting it and doing two steps and skipping it. So those are my favorite three for cardio.
Yeah. Can I just say I just discovered the Stairmaster? I can't even say it.
Meaning,
I literally just started doing it, and I'm starting to feel like it's starting
you
to sit a
booty.
Little bit.
Yeah.
It's starting to sit. Like I've been working out now consistently for probably about a good 2 months.
You know? Consistently though.
Okay,
every day.
So now do you qualify
like
to be the host?
She's like, I'm here. I'm ready.
Now be honest. Now I do my hiking, I work out, but consistently, like I've been working out like almost every single day.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive.
And honestly, it feels good. Like my day does not feel complete unless I work out. Like I'm probably gonna work out when I leave here.
I need to get there. That's amazing.
And it's also like it's a stress reliever too.
It is.
You know,
it
it's a great way to release. But girl, that's Stairmaster though.
It's everything.
Well, what's the
why y'all ain't tell me?
Like, I thought you knew. Y'all, I saw you.
That's an LA thing.
You saw me sitting a little. Oh, you did.
You know, like that's what it just gives you that nice.
But do you have hair issues though when you go to work out, in terms of like you just got your hair done, you're trying to figure out, navigate that? Like how do you navigate that?
So I literally just braided my hair up front because it was just kind of pulled back in a ponytail, and I was like, well, I did hot Pilates the other day. I'm obsessed, first of all.
Really?
Wow.
So bomb.
Okay, we need to talk.
We're going to have to talk about that at some point. But I did hot Pilates yesterday, and I love the instructor, and she has a class tomorrow. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Because I got to be cute. And, you know, my hair is natural. It's not going to blend with this texture if I'm working out like I want to. So I was like, let me just put it in braids so I can keep it pushing.
Yeah.
But I think the main issue, like you said, for Black women is that we don't do a lot of workouts where we have to sweat and all that because we don't want our hair looking crazy.
Yeah.
But it's so many options now. Like, you can wear wigs. You can get braids, and it's acceptable in most environments at this point.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, you better go straight to HR. You can also just wear your hair naturally curly. In some climates, it's not that cold. I mean, it's been up and down. Even in here, we've had snow, you know, recently. But if you can do a wet and go style, try to do that and just wear your hair naturally or twist it out. It's a lot of options, though. So it's really no excuse to not get in a gym at least a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Now, I need some advice with you being a stylist and all.
Yes.
I literally just got my hair pressed right before I got here. I'm usually
a curly
girl.
Thank
you. Honestly,
nice.
I have
Very
not
nice.
Straightened my hair in probably like 8 months.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
It feels really good. So what do you suggest someone like me do? Because I'm going to go to the gym. And I'm going to work out, and I don't want to sweat out my hair.
Well, it's naturally going to sweat out. I mean, that's a good thing. That means your hair is healthy when it starts to revert and go back to its curly state. The best thing I would say is to either do like 2 or 3 braids or a couple of twists so that you can have some texture in your hair, but it still be smooth.
Okay.
And so you would just braid it or twist it before you work out, keep it tied up, and then wait until after you've cooled down, dried, showered, everything. Or wait until the next day and then take it down, and you'll have still a straighter look, but it'll have some texture to it. So it looks like you meant to do that.
Okay.
And then every time you work out, it'll gradually get tighter and tighter, but you will have a really nice style throughout your workouts.
Okay.
The other option is obviously ponytails. You can definitely do a good ponytail. As long as you wear a scarf on your hair while you're working out and don't take it off until your scalp cools down, the style will stay set.
Okay.
So it's better to work out with some kind of, I don't want to say do-rag.
Let's have a scarf.
A silk scarf. Just tie your hair down so that it doesn't push up, because if it's set in its flat state, it'll stay that way when it dries again after you stop sweating. But if you take it off while you're still hot, while you're still sweating, it's going
to
revert.
Okay.
Yep. So you can still work out even though you got the hair just done.
Yeah. So. You can still get your workout in. I would also just say avoid, like, you know, super hot workouts, like hot yoga, hot Pilates, like I did. Like, don't go in the sauna. Don't go in the steam room those first days. But I usually just tell clients to, like, plan the way they work out around when they get their hair done.
Mm-hmm.
So if your hair is fresh, I would just go for a hike because you don't sweat nearly as much.
That's true.
Or I would say do arms, you know, or make it just a leg day where you're still exerting energy, but you're not necessarily doing cardio and you're sweating from your head, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then once your hair gets older, then you do those really like cardio intensive workouts and, you know, go sweat, go burn those calories in a more high intense way.
Yeah, because I can't tell you how many women have told me they're not going to work out because of their hair, and you're always working out. I mean, you're always getting your hair done, so you're going to now go in your entire life not working out at certain points because of your hair, but increased risk for heart disease, increased risk for stroke. You know,
right?
So it's like, come on, let's get that balance right, or at least figure out a way forward.
Yeah, or even just wake up. Do like 50 squats. You're not going to start sweating. You're not going to ruin your hair by doing a couple of squats.
Yeah.
Do a couple of sit-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the excuses we tell ourselves because we don't want to do the work sometimes, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's more of that than anything, but just those a little bit of squats, you know, sit-ups. You can do that at home, and your hair will be fine.
But I can't do the Stairmaster.
Maybe a minute or two.
You can do like 5 minutes on like a level 4, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Get the striations. And get the But we got to talk about the best and worst diets of 2020. U.S. News and World Report, for the 10th year in a row, has released their rankings of the best and worst diets.
I need to know.
Yes.
I want to know specifically one.
Yeah,
Let me see. What should you be on?
But the number one best diet is the Mediterranean diet for the 3rd year in a row.
What is the Mediterranean diet?
Yeah, so it focuses on simple plant-based meals. It's really focused on having a healthy heart. People have longer life. Omega-3 rich fish and healthy fats. So very little meat and mostly plant-based.
I love Mediterranean food, so I'm going to have to go check that one out.
So the Mediterranean diet, that's the way to go. And they said it was really based on a look of balance, maintainability, palatability, whether it was family-friendly, sustainable, and also healthfulness. So it was really important for them to meet all those metrics. Make sure it's tasty, the family can eat it, and it's very balanced. The honorable mentions, we had the DASH diet, the Flexitarian diet, Oprah's Weight Watchers, WW now, and the Mind diet, which is a mixture of the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet. Mm. And the DASH diet, for people that don't know, really focuses on low sodium and reduced blood pressure. So very little, and limiting the saturated fat as well as the salt.
Interesting. I've never heard of the DASH or what was the third one?
Mind diet.
The Mind. Then, I haven't heard of either one of those. I'm going to look into those.
Yeah, so those are sort of the honorable mentions. But, you know, they're all very balanced. Now, of course, your worst diet, the keto diet is one of the worst.
I know it.
Yeah, I read that too. I was like, what?
Why did they say it was the worst?
Because it's not really sustainable. So, you know, I think a lot of people use the word keto loosely. Keto is when you're limiting your carbohydrates to 20 grams of carbs per day or less. So, you know, some people say,
but you need carbs for energy, right?
And that's why it's not sustainable because, you know, at a certain point, your brain will just start misfiring and not functioning as well. Mm-hmm. So the body needs those carbs for energy. I've had it, you know, where I went low carb for weeks for a competition and, you know, the brain was foggy all of a sudden. So that's why the keto diet's not well recommended. But it did come towards the top for diets for fast weight loss. So you do lose weight very quickly. So the keto diet's really suggested as a way to maybe kickstart something big or kickstart another type of diet, but not a sustainable long term.
Sustainable, right. It's not a life choice. Yeah. Like you can't just do that for the rest of your years.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
The actual number one and number two diets for quick weight loss were the HMR diet and the Optavia diet. And both of those companies are companies where you buy your meal from them and they just replace your meal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know how good that is, but in terms of fast weight loss and get you there quicker, that's where it was ranked. What's the craziest diet you've tried?
Juicing, I would say. Juicing? And that's not really as much of a long-term diet either, but anytime you're just drinking juice for days at a time, you go crazy. But it's fine the first day. You're like, oh, I can do this. The second day, you're like, I just want a cheeseburger. The third day, you're like, feed me. But if you do go through it, you really do feel better. I've only done, I think 5 days is the longest that I've done. Yeah. And on the 5 day, I still at night, I ate greens, like just leafy greens raw. But your skin looks better. Your stomach is snatched. You know, it's good, but it's hard.
Yeah, the, like healthy hair growth. Because a lot of vegans, when they go vegan, especially if they go like raw vegan, they report a lot of hair growth. Did you get any of that during that period?
I don't know. My hair doesn't. It grows, but it doesn't grow substantially fast. Like, yeah. I mean, I see a noticeable difference, but any diet that I've done, I haven't been like, oh, wow, look at my hair now. But it takes about a month. It takes about a month for you to see hair growth. And then you have to gauge if it grew more in that month than it did a month before.
You have to be really watching closely.
I think sometimes people just over-dramatize stuff. But as far as eating healthy, when it does, as it pertains to your hair, certain things will make it shinier. Mm-hmm. You know, it will help keep the circulation flowing when you do certain things. But I don't necessarily know if one diet is going to make your hair grow, unless you're taking some kind of supplement or something to aid in the growth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there some food that you eat for your hair, like to make sure it's healthy?
Well, right now I'm taking these gummies. They're called Grow Girl gummies. Yeah. And I'm not endorsing the company or anything, but one of my clients told me about the brand and then I reached out and they gave me some. So I've been kind of like doing the challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm not good with taking pills and vitamins. I have a ton in my cabinet and I just kind of take them when I remember. But with gummies, they taste good. Yeah. They're sweet. It's like, oh, I want some candy. Let me eat my gummies.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been pretty diligent about taking those. And I also drink hair tea.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Hair tea. That's the first I've heard of that.
Yes. My business partner, her name is Malika Frazier. She has a tea and a hair growth oil. And the tea is it tastes so good, but it's a blend of like 16 different herbs. So some of the herbs that I've seen across the board that are in a lot of hair growth vitamins are like, milk thistle, horsetail, what else? I'm drawing a blank. But it's like a lot of really interesting like herbs in there. But it's also chamomile, mint, yeah. like things we're aware of.
Yeah.
But as far as growth, I do see a difference when I do those kind
of
things.
Wow, I haven't heard of hair tea. Have you heard of hair tea?
Not hair tea,
yeah.
no.
Yeah, there are a couple of brands on the market, but the best one is my partner's, like, obviously.
And so wait, that's not Grow Girl.
No, it's Grow Girl, and then there's Rejuva-Grow.
Rejuva-Grow
okay. hair tea.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you might want some of that tea after your wine. We got a new article came out in journal, not article, but study in the Journal of Gastroenterology that may shed some light on whether or not red wine is good for us. So we know we've had the debate, you know, we've had good heart health, but people are saying it's not great because of the liver effects.
Oh.
But this article actually highlighted its effect on the gut health, and that it found that red wine is actually good for the gut microbiome. Looked at the American Gut Project, the Flemish Gut Project in Belgium, and people out of the UK as well. And the UK, they looked at a twin study, and they found that these twins, the one that drank more red wine, had better gut health than the one that didn't.
Stop.
Yeah, and this is even if you mix the alcohol. So the other alcohols weren't associated with good gut microbiome. But if you had that and some red wine, then you still had a better gut microbiome than the other person. So even if you're mixing and matching. You know, of course, the caveat, it's an observational study. So, you know, you want to draw your conclusions, you know, kind of carefully. But again, it's, you know, some good news that if you're going to reach for some alcohol, maybe you should reach for the red wine instead.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Right. For the holiday season, did you have to kind of watch what you drank or how you ate for your own health?
Well, what's funny about this is that I took a microbiome test.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nasty. I don't know if you guys went, but I had to kind of send in some like my stools.
Oh, you took the real like. Okay.
Yes, and they like analyze it, and then it's an app. It's called Viome.
Yeah.
And they send it all your results back and tell you what to eat, what not to eat, and what foods are superfoods
wow.
for you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I have it on my phone, yeah. So anytime I go out to eat or whatever, like for the holidays, I was like, well, let me check the app first. Let me see what I can and can't eat, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's funny, like certain things that I love, like tomatoes or potatoes, lentils, I can't eat.
And you found, and you feel wow. a difference now?
I actually do. I did the whole microbiome thing because I have acne prone skin. Not right now, thank God.
Yeah,
but I know it's like, what is she talking about? But no, I that's something I've dealt with my whole life, off and on. And so sometimes my skin will be flawless, and other times it'll be super broken out. And so I really was trying to find a long term, you know, solution.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I stumbled on this app, and I was like, well, let me just spend this money. Why not? I've spent thousands of dollars in the past, so why not?
Right.
And so I did it for that, but I also have indigestion a lot, and just like, you know, when I eat things, I feel it. I always feel it in my stomach and stuff. So I was like, well, let me try. And so it takes about 90 days for you to really see a result. It's only been about a month for me, but I can say cutting out the foods that I'm aware of that I should cut out, I noticed that I'm not so irritable after I eat.
Yeah, wow. Mm. That's amazing. I mean, poor guy at the lab receiving their the kit to test.
They asked for it, like, too.
Okay, here we go.
Because I think the issue with a lot of amazing. The issues with our body is what we're consuming, what we're putting
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
I've had an issue with bad skin and acne as well, and more than likely it's what you're putting inside your body that's trying to find its way out.
It's stomach for some reason isn't breaking it down properly and so it's coming out of other places. And so once I realized that it's like no matter what topical stuff I put on, I have to get my insides together. But if you guys are interested in like learning more about your microbiome, I would say check out the app. It's not for everybody.
I'm like over here taking mental notes.
Know,
you brought so many resources to the show today. Right.
Life is a journey. I just be trying to figure it out.
And the nice part is when you win an Emmy, people start telling you about stuff, right? Because people weren't. Have you got a lot of companies telling you about stuff and giving you different things?
I don't. Honestly, winning an Emmy does not change a lot, except for the fact that you have to say that I'm an Emmy award winning hairstylist. And I feel like people put more respect on your name,
yeah,
but
of course, yeah.
just in general, it doesn't change a lot. Yeah. It's like you still have to show and prove. You still have to, you know, because if the next girl that got 5 million followers
and it's
me, it's like they're going to probably go with her, you know? So it's still, popularity is still king.
Yeah.
But I think that just like having a degree, it's like you can always say, I have that bachelor's or that master's in whatever, that's never going to leave you. Whereas if you just saying you smart. It's like, okay. So, but yeah, people send me stuff here and there, but I like to, whatever it is I feel like I need, I'm going to go find it and research it. So I was up late at night one day, and that's how I found that company.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the gut, our microbiome, it plays a role in our metabolism, yep. our immunity.
Yep.
It even plays a role in the way we, our behavior. So people, I mean, I remember one of the guys that came on here, I think it was a vegan fat kid, Tim Moore. He said, you know, the stomach is a second brain. Because the way we eat our food influences our hormones, our chemicals in our brain, and it changes the way we think. We literally think differently based on the way we eat.
That's a good point, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I say the same thing as it relates to hair.
Yeah.
I feel like people who are natural most of the time, they're more connected to the universe mm-hmm. because their scalp is open to, like, the sun.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that people who always have their hair covered are less in tune with what's going on energetically.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say one is better than the other, but it's kind of like no coincidence that people who are natural, you know, they're like juicing and they're vegan and they're meditating and they're
more in tune.
You know, that they're literally more in tune. Mm-hmm. So it is something to say about like how we're all connected.
Yeah.
There's a freedom to it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I love being natural, you know?
Yeah. And even not even just, they even said just going out to the sun and exposing your head to the sun, exposing mm-hmm. your skin to the sun for X amount of minutes a day is just beneficial for you as well.
Right, so, right. The vitamin D.
Yeah. And speaking of kind of that whole thing, we talk about these permanent hair dyes and this chemical straightening now as well. And I think we've all known they're a little bit hazardous, but we now have a lot of these studies that with the actual data to show it. In the International Journal of Cancer, so this is the real deal, they looked and they found that there was an elevated risk of breast cancer with chemical straighteners and permanent hair dyes. Mm. Now, for the chemical straightener, overall, 9% risk of breast cancer. For black women, 45% risk.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really bad. And for the permanent hair dyes, it's, I think, was an overall 18% risk for the hair dyes. So we know that for some reason they're thinking maybe there's more a different balance in the products for black women because maybe it's got to be stronger. They're not sure why there's this disparity. But what have you done? I mean, did you know about this stuff growing up and now? And what do you do to kind of combat it?
Growing up, I did not know these statistics. And I don't think anybody did because I think the product companies were making so much money off of us. Right. They just wanted to cash in.
Yeah.
I think now we're a lot more conscious and aware of the health risks involved with using chemicals. But I did not know that breast cancer was linked to it. I do know that fibroids are linked to chemical straighteners. Mm-hmm. I did not know hair color. Hair color is a chemical, but I don't think nobody's going to give that up. The way these grays is coming in, I got to cover myself. Well, it's not going down. But I try to educate my clients on using chemical straighteners. I don't really advocate for them unless you have a very specific hairstyle, which is a pixie cut, and you really want to keep it straight. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I encourage my clients to get their hair straightened by chemicals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just encourage them to go natural and figure out other style options, you know, that they can use, because the health aspect is super important.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's consistent that you're going to be doing this throughout your life, so you really want to make sure you're getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that if you use permanent hair dyes every 8 weeks, it went up to 60%.
Yeah.
So at least if you're using it, try to use it with some sort of, you know, sparingly.
Yeah, I think that's why the percentage is so much greater in the black community, is because a lot of women who are doing chemical straighteners, you know, that are not black, they're probably doing it once a year or once every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're doing curly perms, they're not doing those every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Whereas black women, if they're committed to a relaxer, they're getting it every 6 to 8 weeks, you know, every 2 to 3 months, something like that. They're getting it so frequently that it's affecting them and it's seeping into their pores a lot faster.
Yeah. And they even found for the keratin treatments too, there was an increased risk too. So
I do keratins. I probably should stop.
But, you know, I think it's all about being informed and knowing the risk and how to weigh how to balance those risks.
Yeah, the keratins I do don't have formaldehyde in them.
Oh, that's the thing with.
Okay, with that keratin was initially the problem with keratins that when they first came on the market, and some of them still do,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of brands reformulated, so they're a lot more gentle. So the one that I use, it doesn't have formaldehyde, but it still has a strong smell, so I should look into that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and so formaldehyde is the issue with keratin, but they are saying that in a lot of these products, they're not really well regulated by the FDA. They don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And the FDA has very little power to pull them once they're already out in the market. Mm. And some of these things is like 5,000 chemicals. And we only know how a few of them are really working in our bodies.
Right. I was going to say, do we have any suggestions for women if they want to replace these items?
Mm. Not really. I mean, I think you should replace chemical products with, like, self-love. I know it's hard to say, but it's like, most people look beautiful with gray hair. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to go there because they don't want to look old, you know? And most of the time, you can wear your hair in a lot of different styles where you don't need to straighten it. Right. So that's why the natural hair movement is so strong and growing every day. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we, like, grow a dependency on things that we really don't need.
Right.
And if your health is most important, I would advise to just look at the bigger picture of it all and then decide what you need to do for you.
You know, and I think that's such a great point. Self-love is just so important. And then also, I think, you know, if you get a chance, play around with some wigs. Too. I didn't know that. Like, I have this one wig named Sade. You know, she's short, she's a vibe. I name all my wigs.
You should.
And it's fun. And it's like, okay, if I don't always want to straighten my hair, I'll find a really cute straight wig or something with a nice body wave.
Exactly. Or even color. You try color with wigs as well. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't like having their head covered. So I get that. If you just want to look like you, you want to color your hair, do it, but do it at your own risk, honestly, because it is a risk involved.
What I love is what you said about self-love, and sometimes you don't get that message till so later on in life, but you came out with a children's book called Hair to maybe give some of that love early on so you don't have to work so hard for it later.
Thank you. You're so good with the segues. I mean, you just sliding and gliding all that's through. Strong. I love it. But that's... Honestly, that's why I wrote my children's book, is because I deal with women so often that don't love the way they look. And I'm like, this came from a deeply rooted place. Like, this, you didn't just come to this conclusion at 40. Like, you've probably been feeling like this your whole life. Or when I see women, and one minute they have all this confidence when they have their hair, and then the next minute, you know, we take it out, and then they're like, oh, girl, put this hair back in. I can't let nobody see me like this. And it's like, I don't want the next generation of young women to feel like they have to do that. I don't want the next generation of young women to have all these health concerns because they were more concerned with conforming and looking like the standard, you know, the beauty standard that is not, that doesn't look like us, you know?
And so created.
I created hair also because a lot of women suffer from traction alopecia, which is when you do styles that are too tight and your hair starts to come out and you go bald or you have bald spots from it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that generationally we've taught a lot of improper practices around hair care. So I kind of put all of these different ideas in one book. Things about texture, things about, you know, not fitting in and looking like the kids at your school. You know, we're earning more now as Black people, so we're living in the suburbs. We're going to private school. We got the most billionaires and millionaires. So it's like a lot of times they might be one of one, you know what I mean, or one of three. And so they see Sarah and they see Beth and Megan, and, you know, these kids, they want to look like their friends. And so it's important that we're instilling education and also self-love into our next generation is saying, no, you're beautiful. You're, you know, your hair is alive. Did you know that? You know? And kids will be like, what? You know? And then explaining real life things in a very metaphorical, fun way where the hair is coming to life and it's doing things. And, you know, the same way we drink water, the hair drinks natural oils. And it's like, what? The hair is drinking oils? <Right. laughs> And it's like the same way, you know, we have good days and bad days. Our hair has good days and bad days. Yeah. You know? And so once you humanize hair, then you learn to kind of love it a little bit more.
I love the way that you're phrasing this. Yeah. Once you humanize hair. I remember being, I think, in elementary school and having this big old fro, you know what I'm saying? And I saw the majority of the girls in my class that had perms.
Yep.
So I got my first perm when I was in sixth grade.
And you probably wanted it so bad, didn't you?
I did. I wanted it so bad because all the other girls had straight hair. And I was like, why do I have to have this big old fro?
Yeah.
But if only I loved my fro. Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that perm. And honestly, years later, I regretted getting that perm. And I remember I only did it because everybody else did it.
Yeah, and even for parents, because sometimes parents don't know how to articulate certain things. It's like, you look cute, girl. But it's like, well, but you don't wear your hair curly. So
right, right.
You're saying, I'm cute, but you, I see you with this straightener every day. Uh-huh. And so I think it's also an awareness thing. So I really wrote it to teach adults and children at the same time.
I love that.
How to discuss our look and our image and celebrate it. And then also, it's like, if I told you right now, you could get 2-for-1 on anything, you would be like, exactly. Wait. Right. But for whatever reason, we've been brainwashed to think that one is best, being straight, right?
Right.
But we actually have the better deal.
The versatility, I swear.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do both, yeah.
We can do it
We can do so many things, and I don't think that that aspect is celebrated enough. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my hair keeps yeah.
Because it can.
Because it can.
This is such
and
a
then
good conversation.
You can straighten it again.
Yeah.
And and it's okay. You know
and
what
then
I mean?
You can wear it curly and
exactly.
You can bounce back and forth.
And you can braid it and the braids will stay in. They won't fall out in an hour. You know what I mean? Like, we have so much versatility and strength, like literal strength with our hair, that it's important for me. I have such a passion to explain it in a way where people are like, wow, I'm dope. You know, if kids can read my book and say the affirmations in my book and repeat them and remember them through their childhood, it's going to be a whole different generation, of a whole different mindset of what beauty is.
Right. Love if these kids could find your book in their school library, you know, and they could pick it up and they can check it out, or maybe they can read it in the classrooms. I love it.
Yeah. I saw it all over social media, so you're definitely kicking off the conversation right.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
and it's called just
Target.
Hair.
Yes. Yeah. It's just called Hair. Yeah. And that was strategic, too, because sometimes I think one word, you know, you think of something specific, right?
Yeah.
And so I wanted, when you thought of hair, I wanted you to think of it being big.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, before we have a little segment called Fit Club 5. I'm going to ask you 5 rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
But before we get there, you had 5 tips that you always like to kind of give for hair. And I wanted to kind of go over some of those. You had protective styling, bobby pins, moisture, shininess, and always look at the ingredients. And so of those things, what do you think is the most important for men and women to be paying attention to?
Wait, repeat the ones that you said again?
You had protective styling, bobby pins, like 5 things that, you know, your hair should always kind of have around you. Make sure you look at the ingredients of your products, moisture and shininess.
I want to say for people with textured hair, men and women, moisture is probably the most important.
Okay.
And the best form of moisture is actually in water.
Okay.
Go figure, right?
Yeah.
And so when I say that, I'm saying basically, like, don't be afraid to rinse your hair, shampoo your hair.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we hold out because we're like, I mean, it's obviously a more tedious process, but we hold out sometimes when we really should just keep drenching our hair with water and with moisture. But then you also can add moisture in other ways. So like foam, setting foam, that has good moisture because it's just bubbles, you know, it's the closest thing to water. Oils are also a great form of moisture. Gels, they hold in moisture as well. And so it's really important to just use all the products that can add moisture to the hair because our hair tends to get really dry.
Nice. And then 2 more personal questions for me. I love argan oil. What's your favorite type of oil? That's when I like to use for my hair. And then I've been using CBD oil. Do you have any CBD for the hair?
I have talked to a lot of people in the CBD industry and they don't have anything substantial to tell me about better results from CBD. I think that CBD has a lot of great benefits, but I don't know if hair is at the top of that list. I just think because it's trendy right now, it's like, ooh, CBD for hair. I don't. I just honestly don't think that it has done it, and nobody has any facts to back up anything about it. But maybe there just needs to be more tests.
Yeah, more research.
As far as what was your first question?
Argan oil. Do you have a favorite oil you like to use with hair?
For you, I would not recommend argan oil because it's super light.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do that much.
Yeah.
Jojoba oil, I would say, is better because it replicates the sebum that we produce.
Oh. Okay.
So the hair and the skin accepts it the same way that we produce it, as far as just texture and absorption.
Oh,
okay. Another, as far as oils, I usually particularly like natural oil blends where there are multiple oils. So it's like safflower, and then there might be like a little bit of jojoba, argan, you know. What are some other oils? Like emu oil, avocado oil, grapeseed oil. I like blends because I feel like you're getting more, you know, more than a little bit.
Yeah, you're getting a little
bit. And I also like when my oil consistency like falls into my skin, but then you can still see it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, just like a little
bit. So you don't want it to just like disappear.
Yeah.
But then you also don't want it to sit on top like coconut oil. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of coconut oil.
I keep hearing that a lot.
That's heavier. It's a little heavier.
Yeah, it's a little too heavy, and it actually kind of suffocates the hair and then doesn't allow real moisture to get in. So I think that maybe coconut oil just had a really good publicist like 6 years ago. You know, like how cauliflower and Brussels sprouts are doing right now. You know?
Right.
But I don't think that coconut oil is great for cooking.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's that great for hair. I would even say olive oil over coconut oil.
Yeah, I was going to ask. That was going to be my next one. How about olive oil?
And that's
oil?
Better for cooking, too.
Olive oil is nice for hair. I mean, it's more of something you might want to do as a pre-treatment because it is more on the greasier side, but it's a good oil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got our little Fit Club 5 before we round it out.
Yes. We're going to get in your business just a little bit just now.
Okay.
Who was the last person you text?
The last, I gotta check. Let me.
Yeah, she's a busy woman.
Right.
I think the last person that I text was my agent.
Oh, that busy woman, I told you. Busy woman.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, who is your dream dinner guest? Who would you bring to dinner?
Alive or dead?
Oh, alive or dead?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say Nipsey Hussle.
Ooh, good one.
Nice, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know his body of work when he was alive. I'm going to just be clear because a lot of people be jumping on the bandwagon. I'm a bandwagon person when it comes to him. But I'm so inspired by what he was able to do with his life in the time that he did it. And if I could have him at dinner and just pick his brain a little bit, I would do that.
He seemed like he would just be cool as hell, too.
Right.
He wouldn't be too picky. He'd just be chill, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. The last meal you ate?
The last meal that I ate was this morning. I had a breakfast burrito, so I'm starving.
Okay. So I'm going to be like your mama right now. Why you ate all day?
I was running around. I was on set, and then I got my brows done, and then I had
your
a meeting.
Your brows do look good.
Thank you.
They look great.
And I had a meeting downtown, and then, you know, just the traffic. That was at, like, 2. I was there for, like, 30, 40 minutes maybe. Traffic. Had to get back to this side of town. I had to braid my hair. And by the time I finished that, I had to come here. It was no room for a meal.
That's L.A. for you.
That is L.A.
We're back.
All right. Favorite junk food?
Favorite junk food. I hate to sound like this, but I really don't eat a lot of junk food. I would probably say maybe like popcorn. I like the caramel and the cheddar mix. They have one at Trader Joe's that's kind of like Garrett's. I don't know if you guys heard of Garrett's.
Oh, Garrett's is everything.
Tin.
Yeah, but they have a bag at Trader Joe's that's like that. And I'm hungry. I might go get some right now.
That's how you know you're from Chicago. That's so Chicago. All right. If you were on death row, what would be your last meal? I know that's
what you're like,
What would be my last meal?
What would be your last meal? Shaka came up with these, okay?
That one is heavy, but I would probably want, like, some lobster mac and cheese with a little bit of truffle oil. I would probably want some prime rib. I would probably do, what else do I love? You know, probably some, like, roasted broccolini with a little garlic. I'm on there.
I hope the guys are listening. First date. You guys are getting the first date hack right here.
What else? I would want a gang of stuff. I'm trying to think about everything I would want. Probably some lamb, too, because I love lamb. I feel like that's the holy meat.
She's like, it's death row. It's serious.
Because I don't really even eat meat like that. Yeah, I'm going to just forget about my microbiome and do some mashed potatoes, too.
Do the full deal.
Right. What else? Probably some greens. I don't know, child. I want if it's gonna be my last meal, this whole table better be covered.
And we asked her this when she just ate this morning.
So right.
She's like, Oh, man. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us. This is amazing. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I learned a lot. I hope you guys learned a little something, too. Like, thank you, guys. I love to come here.
Amazing. And where can they find you, Miss Candy Marie, online?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at SweetCandoryTV.
And where can they find you?
You can find me at Angela C. Styles on all platforms.
Emmy Award winner, Angela C. Styles.
Put some respect on her name.
And you guys can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.